this years ago, I don't know, a long time ago, but it was based in Mark chapter 4, but the Lord began to speak to me back yonder how many knows when you walk with God, He will quicken you. He'll make little adjustments in your life. He'll do a little quickening when you're going through something and give you some wisdom, and He'll give you a little bit of wisdom and you won't know you got it till you start through something and you'll use it. And this is one of those times, you know, in my life where, you know, it's not really blind, but if you walk with God, you got to do it by faith. I mean, you know, you walk with Him, trusting Him. It's not blind, really. But, you know, you don't really know what God is going to do and the transformation and all that. And you just trust Him. And then you just walk with Him, you know. I had this guy tell me one time, you know, he had gotten caught up in the scripture up there and a little warped up there. And he was telling me, he was saying, you ain't no need buying a house and there ain't no need in doing this and that, you know, and reading scriptures, you're going to flee up in the mountains and all of that stuff, you know, and I heard that, you know, but in here, somebody say inside of me, He's going to bear witness with the truth. And that wasn't the truth. I thought, man, ain't no need in doing nothing. Jesus is about to come back, man. I mean, He's, you know, and all of that. But then on the inside, see, and Teresa was talking about that this morning. There's not seven steps to everybody's victory. But there's victory all through the Bible by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leading His people. He should be leading us more today as we walk with the Lord and hearing and a desire to hear. But anyhow, I thought, nah, man, I started reading the Bible, and I found in the Bible where the Bible says, Jesus said, occupy till I come. And when I read that scripture, I thought, I wonder what that means. I had no clue what that means. And the Lord was telling me that if I didn't walk by that I was making plans to fail. You walk by the Word. If you're quickened by the Holy Spirit, like this lady one time, she come to me and she said, that's the title of the sermon today, Make No Plans to Fail. But she came, she didn't come to church, you know, and I told her, I said, we missed you in service like that. And she said, well, the Holy Spirit led me to stay home and pray and fast and all of that, you know, and not to come to church. I said, really? I said, I don't sit well with the Holy Spirit. I said, because it's contrary to the Word of God. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, at that time I thought, I'm not going to get warped up. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and He will bear witness to you in line with the Word of God. He will quicken things to you. And the Bible says that over in Acts over there, after the Holy Spirit has come and that He'll reveal and quicken things to you. And it happened to Peter. Jesus asked, He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? Some say Jeremiah the prophet, and begin to say who men they thought that Jesus was. He said, but who do you say I am? He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded back to him, and He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. In other words, the things that are quickened to you from the Word of God, I mean, it might come through somebody. I mean, just like tithing in my life, you know, I'm going down the road, you know, and I'm listening to a preacher on the radio. And he brought up tithing, and I thought, well, it's another one of them preachers just wants your money. You know, it's what I was thinking, you know. And he give the Bible verse. And I thought, well, it's in the Bible. I guess it might be something about that. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, when I get home, see, now I purposed in my heart, if it's in the Bible, God, I'm going to do it. You know, and when I got home, I went straight in and got my Bible. And when I read it right then, the challenge began. I knew on the inside that it was the will of God for me to honor God with my finances. You know, it really wasn't about $2. Or $20, that's all I could give at that time, $23. It really wasn't about that. It was about revelation that God was going to bless me if I honored Him with my finances. Now, God was setting me up, making plans for me to succeed. You know, in Mark 4, you don't have to turn there, Beth. I'm just going to kind of highlight some things. But Mark 4 over there, most of us should know it. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a week and a half, you should have done read something in there. Because we all, us preachers, we're pretty popular about telling you to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the Gospels. But the Gospel was preached way back under to Abraham. So that's just their accounts of Jesus. But anyhow, it's the parable of the sower. The sower sows the word. He spoke in parables. And he told them a parable. Then the disciples got around by themselves and they said, what does that mean? What does this parable mean? And he said, if you can't understand this parable, how can you understand any parable? But see, they had to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. And in the parable, he's talking about these four different types of ground, which is four different types of hearts, you know, that Jesus is talking about in there. One is a wayside. Wayside is when somebody hears the gospel and they don't pick it up and do nothing with it. The devil talks them out of it. Praise God. He can actually talk you out of anything if you listen to him. You know, like I told my pastor one time, was going down the road, and I told him, you know, I said the devil told me that you didn't like me anymore. He got real quiet and didn't look and everything, you know, and man, he don't know how to respond to that, because we're going to a preacher's meeting down yonder in Birmingham, you know, and then after a few seconds, I told him, I said I quit listening to him a long time ago. He freed up. How many knows the more knowledge you got of God's word and the more that you are walking with God, the more that you walk with God and talk with God, fast and pray, come into the house of God, meditating on the word of God, the stronger you get on the inside. I'm talking about the more revelation that will be revealed to you. You can't break me financially, and people think I'm arrogant for saying that, because I have revelation in the word that I don't have to lack. And when lack comes, I just don't pay no attention to lack. You know, and I have revelation in the word that I am the healed of God. I'm convinced of it, praise God. I'm convinced I should have died. I've been on my knees in the garden before I had open heart surgery for years. I didn't get stopped up the week before I had it, the surgery. But I'd fall on my knees in pain and I would tell the Lord, I go in your strength, God. No weapons formed against me. Nobody down there. The church wasn't down there to cheer me on. Come on, we walk by faith. It don't say corporately we walk by faith and we need to call everybody or give you a text every 5 minutes to make sure you're staying in faith. And I would draw strength from the Lord and he would strengthen me and I would get up and do what I was doing in the mighty name of Jesus. And so when I go back and he says, oh man, you're a widowmaker, blah, blah, blah. You know, if I'm, you know, and he told me, he said, if that one right there, just you're going to meet your maker. And I thought, well, that would be fine. And so I said, well, fine. You know, let's do it. Let's do it, you know. And so after all, I walked by faith through it. See, I didn't make no plans to fail before then. Right? And my stand of faith brought the avenue. It'll bring your avenue. See, sometimes God brings avenues to us because we're walking in faith, because we're consecrating ourselves to God, and because we're meditating on His Word, because we're not going to look at the circumstances of our life and determine if we're going to walk the Word and we're going to keep the Word, we're going to keep our marriage, we're going to have a good relationship with our kids and our grandkids. I mean, my mother-in-law sitting here right now, this Bible is true to me. You know, I set out to love her. I hated her. I know y'all just loved everybody all your life and nobody's ever done nothing to you and you've never been a lemon and you've never had no, but we did. And I'm married to her daughter. And that was not good. When I got born again, I made up my mind I am going to love her. I'm going to love my mother-in-law. I'm going to love my mother. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love... See what happened, the Holy Spirit through getting born again convinced me. And you know what? I believe me and her's got one of the best relationships a mother-in-law and son-in-law can have, I reckon. If I need to work on it, I can. It's really good. I didn't say it, she did. And so, see, what it was, I thought, I'm not going to make plans. God was telling me, don't make plans to fail in anything. Well, then I found myself in these four types of grounds of people. I went through the stages. I didn't receive Jesus Christ the first time somebody talked to me. I didn't. I let the enemy at church, whatever I thought and all of that. I'm out on the riverbank, man. We're going fishing and, you know, whatever. Stony ground. The second was stony ground. They received the word but didn't have any guts to keep it. Stony ground people. They'll receive the word, woo, yeah, God's good, God, I'm going to go, you know, but they won't let God get all the stony, the hardness of our heart out. And so the word of God can't bring no fruit. It can't bear fruit. Stony ground, I don't plant tomatoes on stone. I got part of my garden, a big rock comes down and I usually plant my cucumbers there, and every year it dies before the rest of the garden because it can't go no deeper. The roots can't go deeper. There's a rot there. Well, God spoke to me back under. He said, son, he said, repentance on your part of the things that your conscience is bothering you. He said, gets rid of that stony ground. He said, repentance. You got to repent. You got to be repentant. You know, I mean, just like if you're, and God did this to me, you know, I mean, I couldn't let anybody talk about Jesus around me because I come back talking about Jesus. And so I'm sitting in service one day, and my pastor, he said, if you can't listen to somebody else, you're eat up with pride. He said, if pride is in your life, he said, and you're telling about what you've got, and somebody's telling you about what you got, he said, but while they're telling you, you're coming back with five things of you and what you, and you, he said, you didn't even hear them. He said, that's pride. He said, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh man. Man, that's going to cause me to fail, man. And he's talking about pride comes before destruction, you know. And I thought, man, I know everything. I'm sitting there. See, but God was revealing it to me that I think I know everything. I've got an answer for everything anybody's got a question for. I know everything. I could tell you how to do everything. And thought I knew everything, really. And I was foolish and knew a lot of nothing. I gained more wisdom from the God when I began to change. I left and I thought, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going. See, that's what caused my ground to get fertile. You know, it caused, the Word of God could go deeper. I started having revelation about pride and different things because I was willing to yield. And you know what? What I was doing when I would refuse, and I was making plans to fail. So you make plans to die. You make plans to stay broke. I got people in my family, they say, well, I'll just make payments all my life. And I'd come back and tell them I'm not. But God, I'm going to be free from payments. Payments is bondage to me. And I would come back and tell them, no, I'm not going to confess that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to believe that. And I'm going to work toward not having that. And you know what, pray, what was I doing? Making plans for my future. I'm living in it now because I decided that several years ago, you know, and everything. But you know, I sat there and I said pride. I mean, every one of y'all may be the most humblest people and can listen to somebody out and never have to tell them nothing back. That's fine. I was just giving you an example of my own life, how that stony ground was being worked on by the Holy Spirit. He would bring me sermons. I would read it. I would go home and Teresa would whoop me with a scripture every now and then. And when it was the Lord at work. But the stony people, they receive the word, but don't do what it costs to keep it. See, to be doers of the word, we have to be, it's going to cost a sacrifice. For me to love my wife as Christ so loved the church, it's going to take sacrifice. For her to honor me, you know, submit to me, it's going to have to take sacrifice. But she's not, but when we do that stuff, we're making plans to succeed. And when I give and when I tithe, I'm making plans to be successful, praise God. Hallelujah, according to God's word. Well, back yonder, you know, I thought we went to church one time and I'd give a dollar and Teresa, God, that's embarrassing, man. Don't even give a dollar. And I'd tell her, they better be glad they're getting my dollar. I worked hard for that dollar. If they don't want my dollar, I won't give them nothing. But see, I had a hard heart toward giving. It wasn't about the church. The church was a great church and we stayed there 8 years. I even got up, started taking tithes and offerings up, and the tithes and offerings after I got my heart right, praise God, the Lord, see, God was getting rid of that stony ground so that His Word, the seed of the Word of God, could go in and bring a harvest in my life, bring a harvest in my marriage, you know. Well, if I'm going to pastor the church, you know, do what, it's my calling. If I'm going to do that, then it's going to be sacrifice on my part. Well, in just being a witness to Christians out there, I mean, if you're going to be a good witness, then you need to study the Word of God. You don't need to give out your opinion, what you think a Christian ought to be, or what you think, or how. I mean, you need to be scriptural in everything that you minister. You don't need to be telling people, well, I believe, well, that's stony ground, get deeper. We want, this church is the fourth one, good ground. The words fell on good ground. These are people. Well, the next one is thorny ground. You know, thorny ground, that's where you let cares. You let your kids stay on your mind. You worry. How many knows we're not supposed to worry? We're supposed to worry about anything. You cannot worry in faith. You cannot worry and stay in love. Worry is of the kingdom of darkness. Faith is of the kingdom of God. Well, see, he wants to, but see, if you don't let the word of God abide, if you don't, I made up my mind to love my wife as Christ so loved the church, I will buy her better than me even now. You know, I could say, well, you know, and start losing the Word of God. You know, start uprooting the Word of God. And God showed me this through what I'm talking about, the parable back, I guess, in 1996. I was a real impatient with my garden. I'm a gardener. I really like gardening, you know, tomatoes and different things. And but anyways, I would plant seeds, and I knew that it was 7 to 10 days that usually a seed comes up. No matter what it is, usually 7 to 10 days. If it's planted the right depth and it ain't too deep or too shallow or nothing like that. But about on the fifth or sixth day, I'm just curious if it's germinating or not, if it's going to come up. So I would go and I would dig around where I put the seed. I would dig around it, and every time I did that, it would be germinating. It'd be fixing to start out of the ground. I just needed to wait a day or two, you know. That one would never make. That one would die. It would die, or something would happen to it, you know. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he told me, he said, that's the way the word is if you won't keep it in your heart. He said it won't produce, like, you won't produce fruit. You won't have faith like you should. You won't walk in love. He said, you'll walk in selfishness. You'll walk in pride. He said, and it'll rob you from the fruit of the kingdom. See, I told him one time, that was stupid. Boy, he goes to mama, man, daddy called me stupid. Never called him stupid. I told him that was a stupid choice, you know. But what I'm saying there is he never heard anything negative toward his character or anything coming out of his daddy. Because I knew that that would hurt him. I knew that that would damage him. And then I've run into people where their parents, you know, said, you'll never be not, blah, blah, blah. You know, just that verbal abuse, that wrong spirit. And the enemy, he plants those seeds so that God's word, and they don't experience love and don't know how to walk in love, just natural love. But the Lord told me, he said, if you can get them in my word, get them to forgive those. Get them forgive so I can forgive them. See what the word, I started setting people up to not to fail, but to have success, you know, and ministering God's word. See, God's word, when it goes down into a good heart, a repentant heart, it goes down in there and it starts forgiveness. See, all the fruits of the kingdom are not generated by us and our choices. They're generated by the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Then we make choices to yield to it and walk in it. And then it bears out the freedom. It bears out the fruit in our life. That's why I'm not a racist anymore. That's why I'm not a racist. That's why I'm not an adulterer anymore. I'm not a fornicator anymore. I'm not a thief anymore. Hallelujah. I can't take a pen. It bothers me. I'm not a killer anymore. I did kill one squirrel. He's eating my strawberries, and I felt like he forced me. He's eating up my grandbaby. But the last cow that died, I had to get my brother over. I said, man, I just can't do it. I used to shoot them cats just because they had too many fleas. Just shoot them up. I got rid of both problems, the cat and the fleas, you know. Get born again, and then compassion and love begins to walk in you. And you know what? It'll help you forgive those that have hurt you. Forgive those that on purpose hurt you, will hurt you, will take from you. Hallelujah. See, you're not making plans to fail. God's word. See, God's not word is not, I would forgive them, but it hurt me deep. No, you're making plans to fail. You're making excuses. I'm making excuses. God said, forgive, for me to forgive so that my heavenly Father can forgive me of the trespasses that I do. Somebody told me here a while back, somebody went to jail. I can't believe they went to jail, blah, 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 blah. And I looked at them, you know, and I could have got right in there with them. And I said, well, the only reason me and you ain't in there is we ain't got caught. Why did I respond that way? Because I'm not going to get into, they deserved it. They knew better. They know. I'm not going to get, why? Because it's uprooting love out of my heart and mercy and judgment. It's trying to take that out so that Scotty is not happy anymore. So that I don't walk and enjoy the works of my hands. Enjoy my job most of the time. I mean, everybody don't want to go to work, I guess, sometimes, you know. But most time I'm like, whoo, yeah, baby. I get to go enjoy the word. I change my thinking with the word. See, it's on when you change your thinking with the word of God, then he said that he will bless the works of your hands. Now you've got the blessing on what your hands are doing. That's making plans to be successful. Somebody just asked me the other day, they said, oh, you've been in it 30 years, yeah, you ready to retire? You about ready to retire? And I looked at them and I said, nah, not really, man. I said, what would I do? I mean, you know, retire to what? You know, I mean, I love my wife, but I'm not going to sit there 24-7 with her. Because she needs me out there. She's got to wash and clean and all of that. And I snore and I get on her nerves and all of that stuff. And I'm like, I could only garden so much, and I'm sure I could only fish so much, you know. And I told him, I said, nah. I said, I enjoy working with my son. I enjoy working with my hands. I said, you know, I said, why would I want to retire? I said, you know. He said, well, you don't need the money, do you? I said, nah, I don't need the money. I said, I'm up the age, I've saved money. And how many knows everybody need to be saving money? That's called stewardship. We don't have none to save. Yeah, you do. I promise you do. Start where you're at. Every time God would deal, Teresa, he'd get on Teresa about that. I mean, she'd be like, whoa, we got to save it. Oh, this man, he said we need to save $500,000 or $1,000 power bills for 3 months. And she's telling me that, and I'm like, God, man, we should shut that up. I got enough problems. Well, one day, you know, I thought, well, it would be good if we had... if we had 3 months stuck back where if something happened that we could pay our bills for 3 months, that'd give me 3 months to get a job, and I wouldn't get behind on nothing. And so I thought, And then Teresa would be like, well, there's stewardship in the Bible. You know, he give talents, and, you know, and I'm like, man, she's always slicing me with them scriptures. It's way back under, you know. Well, you know what? Praise God, go on, and God anoints you saving. God anoints you laying up for the ministers when they come in to preach. If you ain't got an offering, you praise God, hallelujah. I mean, save 50 cents a day for a year. A quarter. It's not really about, you know, well, see my thinking. I told God, I said, well, God bless us with more so we could save more. And the Lord said, if you won't save now, he said, you won't save when you get a bunch. He said, see what God was doing. God was setting me up to succeed. He was setting me up. And so me and Teresa, he told me and Teresa through all what I'm saying, see, the thorny ground, I was like, well, my bills are due. And man, I can't give to people and blah, blah, blah. See, that's looking in the natural. That's thorny ground, the cares, other people's troubles and all of that, you know, or your lack of finances is why you can't do the Word of God. Nah. You don't wait on everything to work out before you start activating the Word of God, you know. And so I says, all right, man. So we saved up some money. Well, we didn't know that Roger was going to die. That's when he started dealing with us, and we started putting back a little bit of money. And you know what? We had money to give for his funeral. And we was like, man, glory to God, God did that. What if we hadn't obeyed the Lord back down there? You know, we wouldn't have had that. We couldn't have did that, praise God. What God was doing, see, is God was bringing his word on willing hearts. The Bible says in Isaiah 1, it says, if me and you are willing and we obey the Lord, he said, we will eat the good of the land. We'll eat the good of the land. And so I started telling Travis, open a savings account, son. You need to open a savings account. I just leave it at that, you know. And before you know it, he opened a savings account. Two or three years went by, and his truck blowed up, you know. And he had made payments on trucks all his life. I don't think he'd ever bought one cash. And so his truck blowed up, and man, he's like, I'm not going to the bank, praise God. And he goes and takes money out of the savings that he had started. He maybe thought he couldn't afford or whatever the case might be, but did it anyhow and paid cash money for the truck that he's driving now. You know, and I thought, man, praise God. I tell him all the time, son, you're way ahead of me. You're 32, 33. And I was past 33 when I started doing what you're doing. I was way past 33 before I really started applying some things that I told him. I said, you're years ahead of me. I said, man, if you keep walking with God, that's any of us. You keep walking with God and obeying God, time you get my age, you won't lack anything. See, it's all scripture. But they hear the word, but let legitimate matters, bills, families, troubles at work, troubles at home, troubles in ministry, troubles, pressures of personal life, health problems. They let all of this dominate the Word of God. That's thorny ground. You've got to control thorns. People ask me all the time, they go by and they see my garden, you know, and all of that, and they're like, man, you got one of the prettiest gardens. I don't know how you do it. But they ain't there early in the morning when I go out there and hoe a little bit before I go to work. They ain't there at night. They done gone home, their jobs, and doing what they do. And I'm out there plowing it and getting the suckers out and all that stuff out of the garden. Hallelujah. They're not there when I'm going to spray. See, what I'm saying is I'm doing the work that it takes to have a harvest in the garden. Well, the same way here. I keep all those things. I got to keep those. I mean, I have opportunities all the time to get upset for somebody not coming to church. Get upset. I mean, I had one lady back yonder, you know, and she said, "I got to talk to you. Pastor, I got to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." She says, "You see that woman in there?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "She's got to go. This is my church. And we can't go to church together." They'd been into it at the church. They'd even had to call the law at the other church, I found out later. I'm glad I didn't know all that. And so I just told her, I got her by the sleeve, arm sleeve. I said, "God sent you here." I said, "This ain't your church. This ain't my church. This is not her church." I said, "This is God's church." I said, "And God brought you here, and you're going to march in her, and you're going to hug her, and you're going to forgive her, and y'all are going to worship God together in this place." Except she's looking at me, and I'm dragging her in her. Because I thought, man, and I told her, I said, "The Bible says forgive." So it ain't the first time she's heard that. But you know what? It's time for you to do it now. It's time for you to put it into action now. You've heard it 30 years. You've heard it 5 years. You've heard about faithfulness. You've heard about, I told somebody the other day, they said, "Well, y'all let me preach. I said, "Nah." I said, "Ministers give these things to faithful men." I said, "Faithful men qualify for God's ministry." He said, "Well, my gift." I said, "Well, the Bible says..." He said, "I got to get in my calling." I said, "No, I'll let your calling get in you." I said, "Don't go after your calling." I said, "You go after God." I said, "And the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. It'll make room for you." I didn't find my calling. My calling came up on the inside of me, on my pursuit of God. I was pursuing God. I was trying to live for God out there in the workplace. Man, that's a tough thing for us guys. You know, most of the time, I mean, you get workout every day, boy. Especially if there's 30 or 40 works there. You get a workout at the time clock. You know, you get a workout on break time. You know, you get a workout. And I tell them, I said, "Nah." I said, "Don't pursue ministry, pursue God." I said, "Because if you pursue God," I said, "the things that He has planned already for us that we have to understand is He'll bring those up and He'll get us in the right place at the right time doing the right thing." Hallelujah. You know, and thank God I was able to have a little bit of experience and got these matters out of my heart concerning that stuff, you know. You know, you pursue God. I was pursuing God. The only reason I didn't kill those Mexicans down there that day. I wouldn't even probably be at that laundromat because I knew it was a Mexican laundromat. But I don't know why we was down there. But anyways, but I was pursuing God. That's all that had changed, Johnny. I was going after God at home. I want to love the Lord with all of my heart. God, I want to go. I want you to change me. I want you to set me free. These little attributes. And then you know what? Praise God. You go on. This is good ground. See, if you got a heart to do the will of God, that's good ground. You know, I've had people to tell me before, "Well, I can't stand my wife anymore. I can't stand my wife." What? And I'd say, "What happened? What changed you?" "She did." I said, "She can't change you. If you're going to walk the Word, she can't change you. If you're going to be..." Didn't Paul tell the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of His might. Be strong in your union with Him. And put on the armor of God." Hallelujah. But see, the thorny ground, you know, bills, family, troubles at work, troubles. And you know what God's been saying to us probably for about 6 months? Stop complaining. Stop complaining about your life. Stop complaining about what you don't have. Start being thankful and grateful to the Lord, because a thankful heart is a key to more of the Lord. Being thankful where you're at, you know. That's why the book of James, it says, count it all joy when you fall into. Stop griping about the people that are doing you wrong. Stop complaining. I know the feelings are real. I know the hurts are real. I know, but the results are real too. The negative results or the good results. See, you have to break cycles. We have to break cycles in our life. I remember when we after I got born again, it was just seemed to just rock in the family, you know. We'd get around family, especially at Teresa's family, and I got to notice that we would kind of cut one another down. You know, not bad stuff, not really bad stuff. Yeah, Teresa does it. It'd be on the downside. Yeah, Scotty, and he does this. And I'm sitting there one day, and I just felt on the inside, this is not good. And so I left and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know. I said, well, just let me say this. I'd get around me, and this, so you understand what I'm talking about. I'd get around me and they'd say, yeah, my old lady. Oh, yeah, my other half. You know, and all of that, you know. And I would be like, something's not sitting well with these sayings, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, I realized she is a child of the Most High God. She is the apple of God's eye. Why would I say and down her in anything? Hey, stuff I don't like about her, she don't know. She tried to get me to tell her something the other day, and I said, why would I want to? Why would I want to tell you what gets on my nerves a little bit? Like, I thought I got to get rid of the nerve. Right? Lord, help me get rid of the nerve. I overcame Travis smacking every day. I'm telling you. I almost wanted to put him out of the truck, stop, pull over, find a bench. We're going to eat. Because that smacking, I don't know, it's like he takes his tongue, rolls it over about 15 times, and pops in the truck eating. And then when he drinks, I mean, he eats a foot long in 3 minutes. You're going to have to choke down with water or something. And I'd be like, I'd roll my window down. I'd turn the radio on a little bit without him knowing. Finally I said, God, got to help me with this. This is every day with him. You know, I need you to help me, God. Help me. Help me to get rid of this nerve. And you know what? Before you know it, that didn't bother me. It don't bother me. It can slobber out his mouth. And I just sit over and just, you know, I don't pay no attention to it anymore, praise God. Well, don't the Bible say this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith? Well, if I ask him, don't you think that little matter there, getting on your nerve every day, that he's going to help you to where that nerve is gone? Because I'm not going to get rid of my son. I believe for him to be there. I believe for him to come to work regular. And I hadn't been believing on time. That's probably why he's 7 minutes late every day. I got to change that. I tell that other guy, you know, works with us. I tell him every morning, I'll say, your sidekick's late again. He'd be like, yeah. Every morning. I say, your sidekick, yeah, he's late again. Well, I need to quit robbing to the sidekick, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. If I want it, but it don't really get on my nerve. I mean, it don't bother me. We're loading the trucks up anyways, praise God. But I'm not going to let that care choke the word out of me. I'm not going to let Travis's smacking keep me irritated all day, right? I'm not going to let him running late cause I'm not going to run late cause he runs late. Not going to change me. The word's not going to that all of that's not going to change me. You know, concerning the church, I mean, I have opportunities all the time. I have people call me all the time. You know, most people when they're not coming to church, they let you know right before church. And you're like, oh man, you was on cloud nine until you got that message. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You don't need to. That's my challenge. I got to get to where I can get 150 right before church. Everybody's not coming, and it not bother me at all. Be like, glory to God. Hallelujah. At least they're alive. Thank you, Lord. They let me know. Most people, you see them 10 years later. What happened to y'all? Y'all just gone, man. Then they'll call you up 6 years later and mad at you because they got sick and didn't call them. Then you got that challenge. We didn't know you're sick. And then if you tell them you should have been coming to church, then you really make them mad. They ain't coming back. So what I'm saying, the legitimate matters of this life, but good ground, hear the word and receive it. They're like, I'm going to change. Lord, I don't want to be racist. Lord, I don't want to talk down on people. I don't want to be a busybody. God, I want to be where when somebody does something, I don't instantly start judging them. That's the nature of the flesh, to instantly start judging. You know, I mean, I could think Dave could have some kind of action, and I'd be like, I wonder why he did that. I know why he did it. He probably did it because of blah, blah, blah. I could go start my opinions and come to find out, praise God, it went south from what I was thinking. I wasted a lot of time and got in some spiritual trouble myself because of that. But don't make plans to fail. You make plans to succeed. You go after God, I go after God, and I'm telling you, I just had a dream last night. I had a dream, and I'll close with this. I had a dream last night, and we're in the presence of so many people. It's like I'm having to go upstairs to greet the people. We're up on a big platform fixing to go in the building, and I went on, and it's like everybody's just stuck there, and I turned around, and I went in and said, y'all come on in, get out of the way, with all them other folk can get in. Get out of the way, y'all come on in, come on. You know, they're just standing there, they're talking, they're feeling good and all that, you know. And I thought that vision that I had 30 years ago is going to come to pass. I've been waiting 30 years. And I've been behind this pulpit and not even my wife show up and preached and left here with revelation. And I thought to myself, I thought this is the perfect test of what you've called me to do, not based on emotions, not based on people, not based on how. I felt like quitting. I felt like shutting the doors in the natural. But on the inside, I thought this is my opportunity to walk out the will of God when it is very oppressing on this side over here. But I went on through that, praise God, and then I found out that people not coming and stuff moved me less and less. It'd be like 2 or 3 days, and I'd be like, oh man, they didn't come to church Sunday. Oh man, they didn't come to church. For years too, I noticed it right when we started service. Everybody that's gone. See, what was I doing? Not letting those cares get the word out, and the word standing there, praise God, brought fruit, and it set me free. And it sets you free. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord.